Thank you very much. And good morning and welcome also from my side to today's conference call on Q3 of fiscal 2020. I hope you've had a nice summer so far and that you and your families are all still healthy. Now, today, I'm happy to welcome you to our conference call with our CEO, Joe Kaeser, our Deputy CEO, Roland Busch, as well as our CFO, Ralf Thomas. Before we start, just a few housekeeping remarks. This morning at 7 a.m., we've published our results. The presentation, as well as the speeches of our managing board, you can find in German and in English on our website at siemens.com/press. This is also where you will find the recording on this conference call following the telephone conference. Quickly on the rundown of the conference call, Mr. Kaeser will first discuss Q3 2020, give you some detailed numbers, and will also give you an overview of the current COVID-19 situation here at Siemens, as well as the current state of our strategy program, Vision 2020+. Afterwards, Mr. Busch will give you a detailed update on the industrial businesses. He will also discuss the AHR decisions that were communicated yesterday. And last but not least, Mr. Thomas will detail some more results of Q3 and give more information on the Varian acquisition of this week. Afterwards, of course, all three gentlemen, as always, will be available for your questions. I would furthermore also like to point out the safe harbor statement, which you can find on page 2 of the quarterly presentation. With that, I would like to hand over the floor to Mr. Kaeser.
Thank you, Clarissa. Ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us, particularly at this time of year when many are on holidays. And I hope that you and your families are well in these unusual times. We are now looking back on three very eventful 3 months. And I might even say that they are kind of historical. The pandemic has taken the whole world by surprise and hit us with full force. We'll be dealing with the social and economic consequences of the global lockdowns for a long time to come, since the pandemic is still far from over. We are living at a time when societies, people, and organizations around the world must show a great capacity to integrate and adapt and prove their ability to take action. Some are having greater success in this, others less. Germany's gotten a lot right. We have a good chance of emerging from this crisis in a strong position. For this to happen, we'll have to focus on our strengths and shape the future. Innovative strength is the lifeblood of the German economy. We have to recognize tomorrow's export successes today and develop them. Fostering forward-looking technologies and business models must have priority. Backward-looking subsidies and support for non-competitive industries and companies are the wrong way to go. That's why we are pleased that the substantial funding now being made available is focused on sustainable energy sources, efficient mobility infrastructures, advanced healthcare, and internationally leading education and training programs. Here, the adage that every crisis is also an opportunity is proving true. You just have to see the opportunity and, most importantly, seize it. A lot has happened at Siemens too, both operationally and strategically. I'm proud of and grateful for the way the global Siemens team has mastered one of the most difficult quarters in peacetime, while constantly prioritizing the health and safety of people in and outside Siemens. We've delivered a relatively strong operating performance while also reaching significant and transformational milestones. The transaction at Siemens, this healthcare business will change the rules of that game. Let's take a quick look at the figures for Q3. And my colleagues are going to give you more details on this. Orders were down In comparison with the previous year, were down 7% year-over-year to $14.4 billion, while revenue declined 5% to $13.5 billion. This means the book-to-bill ratio was 1.07, that is, it remained well above 1. Adjusted EBITDA and EBITA in the industrial businesses gained 8%. The margin increased to 14.3%. Here, our carefully planned investments, including shrewdly chosen value-adding strategic investments in digital industries software businesses, paid out. They made a very solid contribution to an impressive margin performance and compensated for cyclical weaknesses in the product business. Smart Infrastructure, too, saw significant improvements compared to the second quarter. Only Mobility, which is usually flushed with success, was disappointing, reporting a considerable margin decline despite a slight increase in revenue. However, we can expect a significant improvement again here in the fourth quarter. All in all, our operating performance reflects the fact that we held our own well in a difficult environment, also and above all when compared to our competitors. We also learned a great deal. Things we wouldn't have considered doable ended up working well. They enabled us to accelerate our company's own digital transformation once again. In Q3, we delivered our products reliably. To a great extent, service operations also ran smoothly thanks to our digitally assisted remote maintenance. Even in crisis, we've remained a close, reliable partner for our customers. We're using artificial intelligence to detect and reduce risks in our global supply chains at an early age. And as a result, we were able to minimize constraints within our supply chains. In the midst of all these activities, we never lost sight of Siemens' liquidity and profitability. And this means we are very happy about the very good cash flow of 2.5 million. And I can say health and the security of our workforce is very important. They are top priority in our considerations. And also our experience with increasing the flexibility of our work models, also positive. And as you know, many of our colleagues at Siemens locations around the world will be able to work away from the office 2 or 3 days a week, from whatever location they choose. This new rule will remain in place for the long term, that is, also after the pandemic has passed. We've also made progress when it comes to enhancing our networks of collaborative partnerships or ecosystems. For example, we've established a widely acclaimed partnership with Salesforce. Roland Busch will tell you more about that. Over the last few months, we've also taken major steps to advance Siemens' strategic realignment. Let me mention a few milestones. One milestone was the vote by our shareholders to spin off our energy business with an approval rate of 99.36%. We are right on track, of course, we are right on track with our original plan to complete the listing by the end of this fiscal year. Another transformational milestone in executing Vision 2020 Plus is the planned acquisition of Varian by Healthineers. A lot has already been said and written about this acquisition, and my colleague Rolf Thomas is better positioned to discuss it and will tell you more about it in a second. What's clear, however, is that such a transformational step would never have been possible within the former conglomerate structure of the old Siemens AG. And last but not least, in the last quarter, we entered a strategic partnership with SAP. And software solutions in PLM, product lifecycle management, and in supply chain and asset management, we plan to cooperate more closely. This partnership will further expand Siemens' leading role in the automated world of the fourth industrial revolution. Ladies and gentlemen, We've made it through an eventful quarter with lots of work to do. And despite the severe global crisis, we delivered impressive operating performance. And at the same time, we were able to drive Siemens' realignment. Our Vision 2020 Plus strategy concept is gaining traction, and Healthineers is testimony to that, and it shows that the programs in Hearing strategic and transformational power is good. All our employees and our partners have my deep gratitude and respect. Together, we've set an impressive benchmark for dedication and performance. The timing of the trailblazing transaction in our healthcare business and the rigorous implementation of the original plan for spinning off Siemens Energy has shown our courage. We've also made it clear that there'll be a future post-COVID-19. It's now time to shape this future and thus provide guidance and confidence. Thank you very much, and now I hand over to my colleague Roland Busch.
Thank you very much, Joe. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, also from my side, and welcome. I would now like to talk about our operations individually, and furthermore, I will also go into the HR news that have been communicated. Now, as you can see, the corona pandemic impacted all our businesses in Q3. Nonetheless, our performance improved, and in some areas improved significantly compared to what we anticipated 3 months ago. Now, our employees have performed superbly over the last few months, whether working from home in manufacturing or in sales and services. In the crisis, Siemens has again proved itself to be a robust company. Our customers' relationships are very resilient. In the course of many conversations, my management colleagues and I have witnessed the high level of trust that our customers place in us. Especially during the pandemic, we've largely succeeded in supporting our customers, supplying them with the technologies they need to keep their business running. Businesses that often provide critical infrastructures and processes. This focus on our customers' requirements has a very positive impact on our performance. On top of that, we also have a diversified portfolio that reflects different investment cycles. Now, particularly in these difficult times, partnerships are incredibly important, and in the future, we'll focus even more intensely on cooperating with our customers and partners in ecosystems. For example, our partnerships with SAP and Salesforce are a good indicator of that. Digitalization is accelerating, and together we can find viable solutions faster. I'll tell you more about these partnerships in just a second. Let's take a look at the numbers. With Digital Industries, orders declined 4% on a comparable basis. Revenue was down 5%. Now, at the same time, we posted a 10% plus in our software business. This growth was driven in particular by demand in the semiconductor industry with large orders at Mentor Graphics. Our automation business suffered more, posting a 10% decline. The automotive, machinery, and aviation industries were particularly hard hit, and we don't see any signs of recovery in these industries in the near future. We also see strong regional variations. Growth in the software business was highest in the United States as well as in China, where overall demand rebounded. However, in other regions, orders and revenue declined significantly, especially in Europe. Profit margin in Digital Industries was 24.5%. This figure includes the impact of a revaluation of our stake in Bentley Systems, which resulted in a substantial profit contribution of 211 million euros. In the prior year quarter, this revaluation still had a negative impact. But even without this significant positive effect, the margin would have still been 18.8%. Another contribution was made by cost savings due to the pandemic restrictions. However, the high margin demonstrates impressively how successfully our team is steering its way through the crisis. Now, through our cooperation with SAP, we have expanded our footprint. We are truly creating something new. Two partners are joining forces that are leading. SAP, of course, in the supply chain software, for instance, and Siemens in software for product lifecycle management. This is coming together as a digital threat. SAP will offer Siemens Teamcenter software as a core component of data management systems and cooperation throughout the entire product lifecycle, while we'll offer parts of SAP's portfolio. A car maker, for example, can then link data from its digital models with real-time information from the supply chain and also with performance data from the real-world operations. Now, if problems occur, for instance, at a supplier, the supply chain can then be immediately adjusted and production can continue. This partnership will enable us to help our customers further accelerate digital connectivity in their companies. Now, moving on to smart infrastructure. Orders here were 10% lower than in the prior year quarter. Revenue dropped by 6%, significantly less than we'd anticipated. Demand was weak in Europe, Asia, and Australia, and this decline was mainly attributable to the product business. Now, due to Corona, production facilities in India had to close as well. Both profit and margin suffered due to the lower revenue in the product business. Now, however, compared to Q2, we see an improvement in the adjusted EBITDA in the margin, despite lower revenue. We're also very pleased with high cash flow, which, as is also the case at Digital Industries, we owe to a rigorous focus on working capital management. Now, to enable our customers to facilitate their employees' gradual return to the workplace during the coronavirus pandemic, we've entered a partnership with Salesforce. Now, millions of employers are faced with the challenge to protect their employees while following constantly changing regulations. This is a very big responsibility for our customers and for us as well, but it is also an opportunity to implement innovative office concepts for the future of work. That's how we're combining our industry-leading IoT technology for analyzing building utilization with a Salesforce solution. As a result, we're helping companies get their employees back into the workplace with smart digital technologies that enable new, safe ways of working. Comfy, a smart workplace app from Siemens, is also part of this collaboration, which we're rolling out at 600 locations around the globe. Around 100,000 employees in 30 countries will then be able to digitally connect with our office buildings via their smartphones. If, for example, an employee at Digital Industries in Nuremberg is planning to work here at the Munich headquarters for a few days, she'll receive up-to-date health information for this location on her smartphone. She'll also be able to view the local desk occupancy and reserve a workplace or a conference room, and thus, of course, ensure compliance with distancing requirements. This is how we are enabled to protect our employees so they can confidently return to their workplace. By employing these technologies, we're also paving the way for our future employees to work more flexibly and with greater mobility going forward. So this is, of course, in a post-pandemic world. Siemens Mobility reported both in orders and revenue a 2% increase respectively, proof that it's been able to maintain a high level of stability even during the crisis. Now, due to the restrictions relating to the coronavirus, our high-margin service and infrastructure business didn't have its usual access to customers. Of course, this impacted revenue and was reflected in profit. We also had to take restrictive measures at our own production facilities in order to protect our employees' health. Now, as a result, Mobility's profit margin was around 7%, and we expect the business to be back in its target range again as early as Q4. Cash flow of 500 million euro was gratifying. In Q3, our customer Deutsche Bahn awarded us with a 1.1 billion euro major order for 30 new ICE trains, and this is, of course, a hugely important order for our customers, our partner Deutsche Bahn for Germany, and for Siemens. Firstly, because it shows that in these times of crisis, we can join forces to achieve greater things even faster than before, since the first trains will be operational as early as the end of 2022. Secondly, we're securing jobs. This actually is multiple thousands of employees at several Siemens plants, but of course also at employees of around 50 suppliers in Germany. And thirdly, it marks a milestone for the transformation of transportation. Faster trains, better connections, more comfortable travel. And we're helping sustainably restructuring transportation systems and thus provide the basis for new growth, for a new growth phase while reducing resource consumption. In view of these overall positive market perspectives and developments at our mobility businesses, we reaffirm that Siemens Mobility is an integral part of Siemens AG. Now, ladies and gentlemen, of course, you're familiar with our Vision 2020 Plus strategy, with which we focused our company more intensively on customers and markets. And at the same time, we've, of course, initiated measures to strengthen competitiveness in digital industries and smart infrastructure. Both of those operating companies have further accelerated their programs. The overall target is also higher. In Q2, we announced cost reductions by fiscal 2021 of around 475 million euros. We'll now achieve 35 million euros more by that time. That is 510 million euros in total. Digital Industries plans to reach its overall target of 320 million as early as 2021. According to our original plans, we wouldn't achieve this target until 2023. Smart Infrastructure has increased its target from 300 million to 340 million and expects savings of 190 million by fiscal 2021. So, we're right on track to achieve our savings target of around 300 million euro by 2021 through lean and effective governance. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now turn to the future of Siemens AG. A new chapter in Siemens history will begin on October 1st. Digital Industries, Smart Infrastructure, and Siemens Mobility will form one company that can offer its customers advanced technologies and thus make a contribution to society. It's a new start for both Siemens and its management. Just a few weeks ago, we informed you that Judith Wiese has been appointed Chief Human Resources Officer and Labor Director of Siemens AG. She will be responsible for human resources and global business services. This unit is, of course, where we bundle our services at our company. Now, yesterday, we announced the new setup of our management team effective October 1st. As of fiscal 2021, Digital Industries will be headed by Cedric Nike, who has outstanding experience in digitalization. In the past few years, he has driven strategic development at Smart Infrastructure. Klaus Helmrich, whose employment contract expires on March 31st, 2021, will continue to be available during the transition. I'd like to take this opportunity to cordially thank him for his outstanding achievements. He has been at Siemens for 35 years and has played a crucial role in making us a world market leader in the digital enterprise field. Also, as of October 1st, Matthias Rebellius has been appointed to the Managing Board of Siemens AG, and he'll be responsible for smart infrastructure businesses. Matthias Rebellius has been at Siemens for more than 30 years and has an in-depth knowledge of smart infrastructure's businesses. We also know each other personally very well. Our Chief Financial Officer will, of course, remain Ralf Thomas, who will be providing you with further information about the figures in just a second. He, too, has already been at Siemens for 25 years, and together we've been working closely together in the managing board since 2013. I'm very pleased that our management team is now complete. Ladies and gentlemen, the coronavirus pandemic presents us with major challenges, but it also calls many things into question and gives us the opportunity to reshape our world. Now, one thing is that it makes us rethink how and where we work. Of course, Siemens employees are supporting our customers under extremely difficult conditions, and they've shown that it's possible to work outside the office on a large scale. We all appreciate these advantages, for example, fewer business trips and greater personal flexibility. Now, we've drawn the consequences, and we're going to offer the employees going forward the option to work at home on a mobile basis 2 to 3 days a week. With this, we further develop our company culture. We have confidence and trust in our employees and are empowering them to organize their work themselves. After all, our management style is oriented on results, not on time spent at the office. Our new work model will enable us to motivate our people while enhancing Siemens' performance and strengthening its profile as a flexible and attractive employer. I'm convinced that we can utilize the technologies to improve the lives of many people and thus use digital technologies to solve real-world problems. We aim to make our customers successful in their respective sectors. Our employees are very dedicated to ensuring that our customers can rely on us even in difficult times. We give our people the tools they need to unleash their potential, assume responsibility, and join forces to deliver outstanding results. These things are keys to success. Looking into the future and at the new Siemens, I am very optimistic. And on that note, I'd like to turn the floor over to my managing board colleague, Ralf Thomas.
Yes, thank you very much, Roland. I also wish you a wonderful good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I would like to take a look at the results outside our industrial businesses, or below the line, as we like to call it. I'll begin with Siemens Financial Services, our company's financial arm. The impact of the coronavirus pandemic was felt by Siemens Financial Services also in the third quarter, as it was throughout the financial services industry. All the unit's businesses were affected. Earnings before tax were €36 million, which resulted in a return on equity significantly below the level of the prior year quarter. Compared to the rest of the market, however, these were quite solid results, given the circumstances. Against the backdrop of the continuing uncertainties, the Q3 results were negatively impacted by two developments in particular, the impairment on an investment in South America and an increase in credit risk provisions. However, the volume of actual loan defaults has remained to date relatively low. Nonetheless, the coronavirus pandemic is expected to continue to have a negative effect in the current quarter, fourth quarter. Like Siemens in general, Siemens Financial Services is also continuing to rigorously execute its strategy. This unit supports Siemens industrial businesses with tailored sales financing services and collaborates with them to develop innovative and, in particular, digital business models that help make our industrial offerings even more competitive. A good example here is the partnership announced 2 weeks ago with Barclay Energy Commercial Industrial Solutions, or BESIS, a provider of distributed energy solutions. As part of this partnership, Smart Infrastructure is providing advanced technologies and expertise in the area of distributed energy solutions, while Siemens Financial Services is acquiring a stake in BESIS and contributing its in-depth financing know-how. Together, we are thus using a flexible energy-as-a-service model to accelerate the uptake of distributed energy solutions in the rapidly expanding Asian-Pacific economic region. Let's stay below the line for a moment. In other words, outside our core industrial businesses. Income from continuing operations before income taxes reached the impressively strong level of €1.4 billion, nearly matching the prior year figure. In contrast, at €535 million, net income for the Siemens Group was significantly lower year over year. In this context, it should be noted that, as previously announced, there was a significant 30% increase in the income tax rate. In addition, discontinued operations posted a loss of €451 million, primarily due to the adverse impact of Siemens Gamesa. You already are aware of this impact since Siemens Gamesa reported this last week in detail. Siemens Gas and Power had to deal with considerable write-downs, primarily on old inventories in the aeroderivative business. However, adjusted EBITDA before special items was slightly positive. Let me now turn to another area in which we've worked very hard across the entire company for several months. Showing €2.1 billion at the industrial businesses and €2.5 billion at group level, our free cash flow is one of our Q3 highlights. It's an extremely valuable outcome when a company can generate liquidity from its own resources, particularly in tough economic times like the ones we are experiencing during this pandemic. This free cash flow marks a categorical improvement over the prior year quarter and was driven by all our industrial businesses. At group level, Siemens Energy and the businesses we call portfolio companies also made a considerable positive contribution. If you look at the sum of the first 9 months of the fiscal year, free cash flow at the industrial businesses rose by a healthy 13%. At group level, the figure was more than four times that. In fact, our rigorous and focused working capital management program has quite literally paid off here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let us now turn to the spin-off of Siemens Energy. The planned transaction is right on time. We recently reached important milestones, such as obtaining an investment-grade rating from Standard & Poor's. This rating was an important step on the way to Siemens Energy's independence, and just as we said at our Capital Market Day in May 2019, here too, we've kept our word in every respect. Joe Kaeser already mentioned our shareholders' strong approval of the spin-off at the extraordinary shareholders' meeting, and the next steps are, which you can see on the chart, a virtual Capital Market Day will be held on September the 1st. At this event, Siemens Energy's Executive Board will present the impressive performance potential of the company's portfolio. And the initial listing of the Siemens Energy share on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange is scheduled for the 28th of September. In addition to the planned listing of Siemens Energy, we are focusing the business activities in our portfolio companies as well. As we informed you on the 8th of May, we'd like to position Flender, which has been a separately managed company since 2017, even better on the market and publicly listed as an independent company. We are making solid progress in implementing this plan. And at the next regular annual shareholders meeting in February 2021, Siemens shareholders will vote on a detailed proposal to this effect. Another milestone in the execution of Vision 2020 Plus was announced this past Sunday. Siemens Healthineers intends to acquire a 100% stake in the U.S. company Varian for a purchase price of $16.4 billion. Varian is a global leader in cancer care and has been collaborating with Siemens Healthineers in a strategic partnership since 2012. The acquisition of Varian will create considerable upside potential and a unique portfolio that will make cancer treatment worldwide more effective and efficient. Bernd Montag and Jochen Schmitz explained all the details to you last Sunday. I'd now like to discuss what the planned business combination means for the Siemens AG. Let me begin by emphasizing that Siemens AG expressly welcomes this step. The transaction is being financed using a combination of equity and debt capital. Due to the increase in equity capital at Siemens Healthineers AG, in which Siemens AG will not participate, Siemens AG's stake in Siemens Healthineers AG will be reduced to about 72% from 85%. The additional debt capital is to be borrowed by Siemens AG in the form of bonds and then transferred to Siemens Healthineers as an intergroup loan of up to $9 billion, you know, at customary market conditions, of course. By adopting this approach, Siemens AG's strong credit rating will result in lower debt financing costs. There are further advantages from the fact that Siemens AG enjoys an excellent capital market reputation and can execute financing of this kind more quickly and routinely, as we've already proved several times in the past. The acquisition of Varian by Siemens Healthineers AG will temporarily have a negative impact on earnings per share, return on capital employed, and Siemens AG's capital structure. However, we'll initiate appropriate measures to retain an A-plus or A-1 rating. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now come to our outlook. While we expect the economic consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic to continue to strongly impact our fiscal fourth quarter financial results, macroeconomic developments and their influence on Siemens currently cannot be reliably assessed. In addition, we can't yet reliably forecast the amount of the spin-off gain within discontinued operations. We therefore confirm our outlook for the book-to-bill ratio and revenue in fiscal 2020. And we currently refrain from giving guidance for basic earnings per share from the net income for fiscal 2020. And now I hand back to you, Clarissa.
Thank you very much to Mr. Kaeser, Mr. Busch, and Mr. Thomas for their remarks. So, ladies and gentlemen, we now have until 10 o'clock for your questions. Ahead of time, for technical reasons, we can unfortunately not mix German and English language questions, so we will start with the German questions. If you have dialed into the English language conference, please also ask your questions in English. We will also answer them in English. And With that, over to the operator, who will explain briefly how you can ask your questions. Thank you very much, Ms. Halle. If you want to ask a question, please press star one. We would now like to ask for the first question. Our first question is from Oliver Zachkow from Bloomberg News. Good morning. I only have one question for you. It's for your outlook for 2020. Now, I know, of course, that you can't give us any detailed information on EPS or net income, but maybe you could just give us a qualitative take on whether you see a recovery for the rest of the market or just how you see the next roughly 6 months. So what do you expect? Thank you. Well, this is Mr. Kayser. Maybe I can start. Well, it has a reason why we don't give you an outlook, of course. But the reason isn't so much that we don't have a take on that. We have very good forecasts in our individual businesses. But I think the challenge is, of course, that we don't know exactly if, when, and how a potential second wave is going to impact the demand and the business behavior. And that's why, of course, we're very careful. Now, we've seen that some countries around this globe are dealing very well with the current situation and the volatility that the current situation has triggered. But other countries are doing less great. And, of course, our supply chains, both on the demand side as well as on the supply side, are globally organized. And these potential volatilities, of course, are something we cannot really predict properly, and that's what we're going to work as we have in Q3, and we're going to talk to our customers to see how we do it, what we do, and of course also with our suppliers. Now, we've shown within our company that we can deal very well with these challenges. We're very proud of how our colleagues have done that, especially in the manufacturing business, and how helpful they've been in maintaining all these operations. And we're very thankful and grateful for all of that. And that's going to be the same in Q4. We're going to keep on keeping on week by week, day by day, month by month, of course, as well. Now, it's important for us to say that compared to our competition, we are proving ourselves. I think that is a very important KPI. We're going to keep working on that. And I'm very confident that we're going to once again deliver a strong performance in Q4. Our next question is from Michael Flemig from the Börsenzeitung. Over to you. Hello, this is Michael Flemig from the Börsenzeitung. Hello, Mr. Kayser, Mr. Busch, Mr. Thomas. Three quick questions. First, Mr. Busch, on the changes you're going to kick off in the next 12 months, you've mentioned that you want to have stronger partnerships, invest into ecosystems. So what strategic takes do you have outside of that? Then on the outlook, I don't quite understand your answer. We have 7 weeks until the quarter's end. You've already gained experience on how to deal with COVID waves, maybe on an operational level based on the EBIT margin of 12.7% after these 9 months. Maybe you can actually allude to what you're looking at here. And the third question is on Varian. You've mentioned, Mr. Thomas, that you're going to, of course, take measures in order to keep your rating, so basically lower your debt. Moody's, for example, has offered an option to be more restrictive in the dividend and also share buybacks. Would that be an option for you, for example? Thank you. Well, let me start. Good morning. Well, first off, Vision 2020 Plus, of course, we're going to continue to execute that. Of course, this is Mr. Busch speaking. And of course, as you know, we don't only work on the operational units here, we're also working here in HQ. In order to further develop a company, that's of course going to keep us very busy going forward. The second point that we see, especially in times of crisis, and you've already heard it from Mr. Kayser, that the market is very, very volatile in these different areas. But being close to the customers and focusing on customers and optimizing and improving our services for our customers is crucial. Also, of course, with new offers. We're going to offer new things, particularly, of course, digitalization, hardware to hardware or hardware to software. So IoT is basically a huge challenge. And that already brings me to the third point, which is the technological development. You've mentioned the partnerships. That is a very good start. We have to go forward with this. We have to develop this. Also, the partnership with SAP and Salesforce. We have to make sure that we get traction on the market. But I think that's only the beginning and not the end of this, and we're going to continue to invest organically in technologies. For example, Edge is a huge topic where we're going to continue to develop. We also see crucial market potential here. But, of course, also digitalization solutions and IoT are offering a huge potential. And I think the last point that is crucial to mention is that we're going to focus on our people, how we deal with them, how we develop them, how we train them, and how we bring them into this new world of working, how we install that, how we implement that, and how can we make sure that we increase the productivity of our employees, of course, also in management. We want to do the same thing. I think those are the four crucial points that we're going to focus on. Well, Mr. Flanning, thank you very much. Also to Varian, this is Mr. Thomas speaking. I'm going to specify that a bit more. Now, I said that we're going to take measures to ensure that we stabilize our rating. You've already pointed out, rightfully so, that both of the rating agencies, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, have already said something on that and have confirmed our rating with A+ and A1. Now, both of them have given an outlook that has been reduced from stable to negative. That sounds draconian, but it basically only says that for the next 2 years, we're in the so-called headroom, so in basically in the leeway that we've had, that we're relatively limited outside of the Varian transaction. That's what that basically means, and that with that, of course, we also have the option in that time frame, which is quite a while, I mean 2 years, quite a long time, we can take measures in order to improve our industrial net to EBITDA KPIs in a way that ensures the rating, and we can bring it back up to the usual levels. Now, they're giving us time for that, these 2 years. That's, of course, a huge vote of confidence and also shows and proves that we have earned the confidence in the market. With that, of course, we're going to be dealing with that very diligently. You already know some measures that we're going to be taking because, for example, we already told you that the shares of Siemens AG, that Siemens AG will hold in Siemens Energy, we're not going to hold on to those indefinitely. We're going to give those to the market in the next 12 to 18 months. We also told you that we have an additional spin-off, which is the Flender business, that we could be in a similar situation potentially. And I would like to emphasize this. We explicitly also said that our dividend policy is going to remain untouched. We're going to pay out 40 to 60% of the post-tax profit to our shareholders. And the share buyback and these other programs, of course, we've also given you regular updates, and we've told you that the ongoing program is something that we definitely could improve. That was also a very fortunate timing, I would say, and we're going to buy back up to 1 billion euros per year for the foreseeable future. Now, of course, we can have some leeway in that. Now, we don't want to finalize all of that 100%, but we basically have a whole litany of topics that we can tap, that we've already aligned, which enable us to live up exactly to the expectations of the rating agency. So you can rest assured that we did not just wait for the rating agencies to approach us. No, we've actually had a very trusting collaboration with them in the past. And, of course, we've already discussed these measures with both agencies in great detail. Now, on the outlook, if I can give you an update from my perspective. Now, on the one hand, it is very important for me to say that we don't give an EPS outlook. This is also due to the fact that, of course, we cannot anticipate what the deconsolidation profit for the energy business is going to be like. Now, that is very much dependent on the market situation and the primary stock price there. That's why we cannot make any speculations. We already explained this in great detail in the last quarter, and this still holds true today. number one. Number two, as Mr. Keyser has already said, due to the pandemic framework conditions, we're in a situation that is very hard to gauge, especially when you're looking at when and if a second wave might hit us, maybe even in Europe, maybe even in some of our important core markets. So we don't want to make any speculations here, but what we do see, and as you've asked, what is the situation like? Well, very specifically, we've explained to you that in Q3, so in the finished Q3, we've seen a strengthening in our China business. We've also seen a strong demand in our industrial software, and we've profited from that. We've seen larger orders there. They, of course, don't repeat on a quarterly basis, but they're basically event-driven. So if you sign such a contract, you relatively quickly get a certain amount of revenue, which, of course, leads to peaks, as we've seen in Q3. We also told you that with, of course, the revaluation of the Bentley shares, we've received a significant extraordinary effect of roughly 2 percentage points on the 14% margin. And we also said, and this, of course, continues to hold true, that the limited travel is, of course, also a win for profit. So this is a positive effect. Now, roughly 70% compared to the previous year's quarter is what we've been able to save in travel. That's not only desirable because, of course, we also want to go to our customers and we want to do service, want to do maintenance, want to do customer relationships. But it, of course, still shows that the entire framework that we're faced in with at the moment impacts the entire business across the board. And also one of our key industries, the automotive industry and mechanical engineering, as Mr. Busch has mentioned, is currently faced with huge challenges. But also here we can see in various end market situations that change is afoot. The outlook for which, of course, is too early to quantify some takeaways for Q4. So I hope all of that gave you a little bit more color. Yes, it did. Thank you very much. Our next question is from Axel Höppner from Handelsblatt. Over to you. Good morning. I have two questions to Mr. Keyser. Number one, when Siemens Energy is stock listed in the fall, in how far is the corporate transition, as you've envisioned it, finished? Or does Mr. Busch have some big tasks ahead of himself? And maybe second question, do you also want to say something on the new AHI setup with Nike and Rebellious? Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Höppner. Yeah, sure. I think we have to be clear about the fact that the development of the company is a continuous process. Now, you know that I'm not a friend of the term restructuring because it connotates an optionality. You said that we did that with the management team in the last few years, of course. Vision 2020 Plus was a crucial strategic milestone for the preparation of the company for this sort of transformation in these crucial markets and technologies that are powerful and that, of course, are seeing a high amount of speed. And I think it is fair to say that these milestones have been reached with the spin-off of the energy business, but of course those are just milestones of a continuous transformation of the company. And we're also completely in agreement across the entire management team that the new ones are going to shape the future, and the current ones have achieved what we've achieved so far, and that the company is going to be developed going forward as well. I'm particularly happy, of course, that we have now also made it clear what the new management structure is going to be like. Roland Busch is a former CEO, as a future CEO, of course. So the team is complete. With Ms. Riese, we have, of course, attained someone on the board who has a great profile. Matthias Rebellious also knows the business of smart infrastructure very, very well. So I'm truly, truly happy that basically the succession planning is so long-term and basically went over without a hitch. Now, as you know, this wasn't always the case with Siemens. and it's basically taken 15 years until we've had a proper and long-term oriented succession planning. I think it was high time, and it is great that it's been achieved this way. Thank you very much.
Now, our next question comes from Alexander Hübner, Reuters. Good morning. I have two questions. The one about the future, Mr. Busch, maybe you can answer this question. There are some people who have concerns that things might be too small on an international level. So Healthineers, here you showed that you are doing acquisitions. And have you similar ideas on your mind when looking at the product business, or do you think that over the next few years we will have a partnership here or there? And the second question to you, Mr. Kayser, Flender. You mentioned it already, spin-off is planned, but obviously there are alternatives available. So what is it someone has to offer to you in order, you know, to get them away? Mr. Wimmer, let me start. I don't think we can say that Siemens is too small. I didn't think you can say this. And it's not about the size. It is about the things that we can do with our customers, what our growth potential is, that is, the bottom line is, what is the assessment, the evaluation in the market. This is important. I want to emphasize that, you know, we will be able to supply services to our customers and will generate sustainable and profitable growth in the future. Of course, we're going to look around the marketplace when talking about acquisitions. We mentioned some, you know, there are some other areas as well. We will have a closer look, but we will also have a look at and make sure that we grow organically, because this is certainly a positive effect. We try to use our own performance to grow, and this is, you know, the mixture of all this will be profitable at the end of the day. I think we made very clear, says Mr. Kayser, that we've got a good company, we've got this portfolio, the company's concept, which covers a lot of our operations. We set up certain structures, you know, the PROC segment, as we call it. This will be dealt with, you know, looking at the medium-sized structures. I believe we did justice to all that. And I can say that at present, you know, the situation is quite well. Mr. Busch just discussed the situation with colleagues. And today I can say that when looking at Flender, we, you know, it's an independent brand. And I think we can initiate a spin-off. This is a tested and proven approach. And of course, there are other possibilities as well. I said it this morning. Now, we have a plan. We described this plan, and we know that we will be able to carry out the spin-off in a very positive way. And if somebody believes that they've got a better plan for customers, for employees, for shareholders, then, of course, we are ready to listen to that proposal or suggestion. Sorry, can I ask a question again? Okay, about trains. You know, this Alstom approach really was dealt with in Brussels, well, in their way. Now, can you tell us why it was so much more difficult now? And what are your conclusions? You know, talking about trains. Well, the question is, we've got a very strong mobility business, which, as you've seen, is developing very soundly and robustly in times of a crisis. We got market shares and also margins also very well. You know, look at the figures for the third quarter. And obviously, our customers like our products, and this is what we can see, particularly when looking at the Deutsche Bahn, giving us this major order. And of course, we see further potential. I believe that the situation in Brussels has to do with the fact where Bombard is standing, and it also has to do with prospects of our customers. This is something which you have to factor in, which you have to take into account. And of course, competitive law and antitrust laws also play a role. And then, of course, there are other situations which we do not know yet. There are the first impressions which we have gained at onboard unit. Here we still had to do some, revising, and that we make sure that we are competitive. And I can say that my conscience is clear, and I'm very happy that we can continue our mobility business. Thank you very much for your questions. We haven't got any further German questions. Therefore, we are going to switch over to the English section, and then I'm back to the operator.
Thank you. If you would like to ask questions in English, please press the star key followed by the one key on your telephone. Your questions, please. The next question comes from John Revel from Reuters. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions, if I may. I know you said that the outlook is obviously very unclear at present, but I was wondering, what's your general gut feeling? Do you think we've kind of hit the bottom of the crisis regarding sort of orders and the business for Siemens? That's my first question. And the second one is regarding the management changes last night. Mr. Bush will take over responsibility for 2021, but Mr. Kayser is going to remain as CEO until next year. But who effectively then will be running the business from October? Will that be Mr. Bush? Could you just clarify that for me, please? Thank you.
Yeah, starting with the second one, Roland will be in charge together with his team. He will, set the directions, the budget, the accountability and responsibility for 2021 going forward.
Okay.
Very clear. On the other topic, I mean, we've been dancing around already earlier when Mr. Flemick was asking precise questions. Look, in our planning today, we expect, especially on the single most relevant asset in terms of valuation in our DI, we do expect modest sequential growth in both orders and revenues. So that's what we believe we see. The other hand, more and more, we also need to go look into, will China remain as strong as it used to be? Secondly, will we see some headwinds on foreign exchange rates, which are starting to become relevant again? So that's this topic here. On the bottom line, we've had an outstanding quarter, as you hopefully can agree with. Yet, there's a series of parts in our forecasts which we are not under control with, like supply chain and things like that. So we know what you're doing. We do expect a decent quarter in Q4, but then again, there's uncertainty based on pandemics, and that's why we are a bit careful about it in terms of operational performance. But we do expect sequential growth, and that would actually suggest that we've seen the bottom and continue to work our way through that. But we certainly, will not see year-over-year growth, as you can potentially appreciate.
No, thank you. And just a further question on the saving. You've actually, the workforce has been reduced by 2,000 compared with last year. Are there any kind of plans for any further job cuts as part of the savings program moving forward? And how much of those 2,000 jobs that went, was that corona related or was that just general job cuts?
So we are executing our Vision 2020 Plus program as laid out. We have laid out the savings for 2021, and we will deliver on those. That's the most important point.
Thank you very much, John. Apparently, we have some additional questions on the German line, so we switch back one more time. Thank you, operator. Let me hand over.
Hallo, guten Morgen. Ich hätte noch.
Right, good morning. I have two more questions. Number one on the rating and Varian. Number two, Mr. Thomas, you said that Siemens AG, because of the high indebtedness, will basically be quote-unquote limited for the next 2 years. What does that mean for your acquisition possibilities of Siemens AG? What leeway do you have, if any? And maybe also on what you've said, I think it's also published, that the shares of Siemens Energy in the next 12 to 18 months will be significantly reduced, or are supposed to be. Is it also conceivable that the shares within the next 18 months will be completely placed? And is it also conceivable that in order to maybe get some money for a good acquisition in Siemens AEG, is it also conceivable that you place Healthineers share in the marketplace? And then I have another question on Atlanta, that is the IoT consultancy that you founded. Now, I heard that that's not really going well. Is that because of Corona that you couldn't really go to the customers, or is it also due to the fact that SMEs, who basically you wanted to win as customers, that these SMEs have the fear to be dependent on Siemens too much? Because, of course, you already have the automation technology of Siemens in their factory. And what are the outlooks here for Atlanta in the next 1 to 2 years? Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Maya, for giving me the opportunity on or specify further my remarks on the ratings and Varian. Now, I spoke of headroom. Unfortunately, that's an English term which maybe should be specified further. It basically just means that the rating itself, of course, is confirmed. I mentioned that. It's been confirmed by both agencies. There is no doubt from any side. But what they do say, and that's that famous headroom, that basically going forward for the next 2 years, for additional transactions outside of Varian, if we need to get additional debt capital, that then potentially a downgrading could theoretically happen. That is the statement. So that is why we have to differentiate between the current actual state and the expectations. The expectations are positive, even though the wording sounds negative. Now, positive because they assume that we are able to earn back that money and support it through proper measures to make sure that nothing really changes, right? And with that, of course, going forward, we would not be limited in any way, shape, or form. On top of that, and I didn't specify that explicitly earlier because it was already mentioned in the prior remarks by my colleagues, that we truly have an impressive performance in our internal financing power. So we're basically generating cash from our own business activities at a level which I believe is also really valued from your side. And that's why even if we're looking at debt capital for potential other acquisitions and activities, outside of that, we still have our own internal cash. The question for energy, I think, answer themselves, but I would like to once again reiterate, we said that we're going to be remaining an anchor shareholder, and we cannot imagine that we're going to completely divest all of our Siemens Energy shares. That's why the answer to your question is no, we do not want to divest all of our shares at Siemens Energy. And for the Healthineers shares, I think the subtext of your question was that you're worried that we could get broke and have to get some more money and therefore sell Healthineers shares. But I can rest, you can rest assured that we have it fully under control. Don't worry. Now, in Atlanta, I can tell you that we're really making a great success in setting up the pipeline with our customers. We have great examples. But, of course, it's in the nature of the business that it's smaller orders. It's not huge orders, so we simply have to execute the pipeline. Now, of course, COVID also has contributed to the fact that this execution is going slower. And, of course, as mentioned, the consultation business is relatively difficult at the moment, as you can very well imagine. And on top of that, the capacities with mid-sized customers, their own capacity to specify, to make their own decisions, that's just not there yet. So we basically also have to do some baseline work in how far we actually lead the customers to IoT projects. So we're still on track, Now, just one comment or one note. When we publish those goals, we definitely couple them to acquisitions as well, because we say we want to grow not just organically, but also inorganically. And I think that's all we can say on that. Thank you. Thank you. We have another question which comes from Gerd Decker from IBTD Pressedienst. Well, thank you very much. Good morning, and thank you for the information so far. I just have a short question, or actually a more general question on COVID and the impact. We heard about the second wave twice now. We heard about the constant wave for a few days now. And now the measures, Mr. Keyes, or whoever wants to answer the question, do you believe that the measures that you've taken so far, are they planned enough into the future that even if this COVID situation should really drag on for a long period of time, do you think that the work structure, the employee structure, et cetera, is shaped in a way that you can sustain it, even if, for example, a vaccination might take some time? So do you think that you have to plan anew, or do you think that the plan that you have currently, and if you just execute that regarding the working situation, do you think that that is enough, basically, is my question. Thank you for the question. Well, you know, you see, this really depends on the scope of the pandemic and how it's going to develop. Put simply, that's why it's not so much about speculating about things that we don't know, and also speculating about things that are very different across different regions and that are handled very differently across different regions. I mean, we saw that earlier when we were talking about the outlook going forward. Now, we can say for ourselves that for the first big wave, for the first global big wave, I think we've really been able to handle it very well. We had a crisis staff very quickly. I think Mr. Bush and myself were on that as well. Of course, a lot of work has had to be done there. That work was done very well, especially if you have to work outside your regular regulations, because you need to be very quick and very efficient. So that was done very quickly. If you see how small the interruptions were, both in our logistics and in our production network, that was a tremendous performance. But of course, we're going to deal further with that topic once we know the additional effects and the takeaways, because of course, it can be very different across different regions. Now, we've taken a very careful approach with this discussion, because it's a very multi-causal discussion that is not that easy to have. But please do rest assured that we are very well prepared to tackle this. This is, of course, both in terms of our financial performance as well as in digitalization and, you know, things that we never even thought were possible. All of a sudden, these things are just possible. So we're very optimistic. Also in the management team, we have really strong people and a really strong team, and there are great people working in our company across the world, and that has truly made me very confident that we will handle the pandemic relatively good, no matter how it's going to look like. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have no further questions. That is why we are going to now close the conference call. Thank you very much for your participation and for your interest on this morning. At 10:30, our analyst call will start, also with Joe Kayser, Roland Busch, and Ralph Thomas. You can, of course, also follow this conference call live online at siemens.com/analyst call. We will once again see and hear you in this constellation on November 12th, 2020, when we will publish the numbers for Q4. With that being said, have a great day, a sunny summer, and goodbye. And stay healthy, everyone.